There are at least two known burial grounds at Monticello, the estate that was Thomas Jefferson's home. One is near the main house and surrounded by an imposing wrought iron fence. It is populated with tombstones marked Jefferson, Randolph, Taylor, and the surnames of other kin. Jefferson's grave is marked by an obelisk, adorned with an inscription of how he wished to be remembered. Here was buried Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of American Independence, of the Statute of Virginia for Religious Freedom, and father of the University of Virginia. The graveyard is still in use. It is the only property on the former plantation not owned by the Thomas Jefferson Foundation, the nonprofit that owns and manages Monticello, but by a group called the Monticello Association, whose members are direct descendants of Thomas Jefferson and his wife, Martha Wells Skelton. From time to time, members of the association gather for a burial or a wreath-laying ceremony to commemorate their legendary ancestor. Only Jefferson, his white family, and their descendants and spouses are buried there. Only they are welcome. That was made painfully clear a few years after a white descendant invited dozens of his black cousins to an association reunion. They were guests because they too can trace their origins to the third president. They were descendants of a liaison between Jefferson and a woman he enslaved, Sally Hemings. In 1999, as the cousins, white and black, mingled cordially at Monticello and at lunches and cocktail parties, the media followed. The news reports that followed made reconciliation seem possible, even imminent. But 3 years later, when the same white cousin who had orchestrated the reunion sought membership for his black kin, they were shut out. According to witnesses, in 2002, when a vote was taken at the association's annual meeting, a near riot erupted as white members, fueled by two centuries of denial about who fathered Hemings's children, furiously objected. The episode made the national press. "There was my family being racist on the front page of the New York Times," lamented a white descendant 20 years later. A short walk down the mountain along a gravel path and near the entrance of Monticello's visitor center is another gravesite. Bordered by a parking lot, a few trees, and wooden rail fencing is a burial ground for those who were enslaved on Jefferson's plantation. Here are no obelisks or tombstones, only large rocks marking where people, my people, are buried. No one knows the names of those interred there, only that they were enslaved at Monticello. The burial ground, like much of African American history, was almost lost forever. What saved it was an oral tradition, which for centuries was how America's blacks remembered their past. The story goes that when old-timers who had spent their lives living in the shadows of Jefferson's Mountain heard that the graveyard was to become a parking lot, they spoke up. They knew bodies were buried there, because their mothers and fathers, who had heard it from their mothers and fathers, said it was so. We can only speculate about who might be buried there. Perhaps Ursula Granger, whose reputation as a great cook induced Jefferson to purchase her at his wife's request in 1773. It was Ursula's breast milk that saved the life of the couple's sickly 6-month-old daughter, named Martha after her mother, when her ailing mother was unable to nurse her. Were it not for Ursula, I would not be here, because the child she saved would become my great-grandmother 4 times over. Or skilled worker Kate Hubbard, my 4 times great-grandmother. 2 of her sons were among Monticello's few runaways. Or Elizabeth Hemings, who came to Monticello with her 10 children when Jefferson's father-in-law, John Wells, died in 1773. Elizabeth's remains might rest near her cabin or the burial ground, but we will never know.